a little jet lag, but I'm going to tell you, it was probably one of the most consequential and important congressional delegation trips I've ever made. So it was really important to do. I'm honored to get to do it.
What was the first thing on your agenda when you got back to D.C. based on what you saw that had to happen?
The first thing was that we had to stop importing oil and gas from Russia. It was unconscionable that the United States of America was taking upwards of 695,000 barrels per day of oil from this war criminal, butcher, Vladimir Putin, who has, in an unwarranted and way, attacked a sovereign country of 44 million free people. Now, personally, I believe that there are ways for us to deal with our energy policy that reinstates America's energy independence. I believe that we could really be self-sufficient if we would just open up the Keystone Pipeline, begin the drilling again in the Anwar, end the federal freeze on all new oil and gas projects that President Biden has in place, and fast-track the pending LNG export permits that are already out there. So the number one thing we said is we have got to stop funding Vladimir Putin's bloody war. And what happened yesterday, the president went on air and announced that we would stop purchasing Russian oil. And today, the Congress will take a bipartisan vote that we will also reaffirm what the president is doing and stop importing Russian oil and gas. I am hopeful that we will be able to, at some point, get this administration back to where America is energy independent and we are in control of our own energy freedom.
That's in keeping with what many of your colleagues are saying in the House and Senate. We're talking to Ann Wagner, Congresswoman Ann Wagner, who's just returned from the Ukraine. Tell me what you saw that really impacted you the most while you were there.
We met with our EU allies, our NATO allies. We met by satellite with President Zelensky. We met with leaders across Europe, across NATO. We met with our own Secretary of State, Blinken, for upwards of 2 hours, and talked about what the needs are in the ground of Ukraine. They very much need our military equipment and assistance, not boots on the ground, not for us to handle their no-fly zone. They want to very much fight for their own freedom and their own homeland and their own sovereignty. So it is our job, and I hope today we'll be passing a package very soon that is going to support them with the proper military equipment and supplies that we are already supplying to them, but that we're going to do it in a greater fashion. And I hope that we're also going to be able to handle more humanitarian aid that is on the ground, very much wanting a secure corridor to get into Ukraine to take care of those who are in need, who are wounded, who are without food and warmth and need assistance. From the Red Cross to just about every non-governmental agency out there is standing down at the border, certainly serving the refugees that come across, but they want to go into the country. And every time they try and get a safe corridor or passage, Vladimir Putin bombs or shells their caravans. So this has got to stop. Humanitarian aid is important. The military aid is important, making sure that they have the proper military aid, which are, they want to fly, they're trained on Soviet style and Soviet era military weaponry. They want surface to air missiles. They want MiGs so they can fly in their own country and fight this war. They want drones. Hopefully Turkey will step up with some more. We're working on that. Our job was to assess, also meeting with the 82nd Airborne that is on the ground in Poland, some 10,000 troops. General Donahue, who is the general in charge there of the 82nd on the ground in Poland, their mission is to assure and deter, assure our NATO allies and deter Vladimir Putin. What he told us was, number one, keep Ukraine in the fight. Number two, wear out Putin's already diminished army. And number three, don't escalate a nuclear power. So we are doing what we can in Congress, both to make sure that we are not funding through oil purchases Vladimir Putin's war, to make sure that we are providing them both with the military and humanitarian aid and need that they have. And then, of course, the most moving and heartbreaking part of my journey to Poland and to the Ukrainian border was to watch the flood of Ukrainian refugees coming across the border. There are some 8 border crossings in Poland. We were at one. That day, 132,000 women and children crossed that border. Many of them were being dropped off and giving their last hug and goodbye to a son, a husband, who were turning right around to go back and fight the fight. The fight for their homeland, the fight for their freedom and independence. Some 44 million Ukrainians have been, in an unprovoked and unwarranted way, attacked by Vladimir Putin. And the resolve of these Ukrainians to fight this fight to the death is just unbelievable. And there you had mothers that were crying in my arms, children that didn't know what was happening. Many had traveled by foot. They needed food, clothing, shelter. I can't say enough, actually, about the people of Poland who are taking these refugees into their homes. The rest of Europe, there were buses there that were headed for Germany, Italy, and Hungary, and Romania, all into the interior. Most, remember, this is all on one continent. Most of these Ukrainians have friends, families, work colleagues that they know that are in Europe, and they're being taken in. You're really not seeing big encampments yet or anything like that. This is really just a refugee transitional 2 to 3 day care. But the emotional toll that this country is going through is one that would move any human being to tears.
And Congresswoman Wagner, you've worked in diplomacy most of your life, and you've worked in Western Europe with NATO. What do we need to be careful of? If Ukraine can fight back this well, are we overestimating Putin? Do we have to worry about a next step pushing us into war territory?
Well, I mean, with a madman who won't even open up safe humanitarian corridors to get assistance, who is being isolated more and more as the world in a unified fashion turns against him, we have to always remember he is a nuclear power. So we have to make sure that we keep the Ukrainians in the fight with the weaponry and the kind of humanitarian assistance and other needs that they have to fight this fight themselves. I think everyone has been astonished at the lack of resolve, the diminishment of Putin's army. But really, and frankly, these Russian soldiers were told they were coming in as liberators. And then they find out that that's not the case at all. Many Russians and Ukrainians, they share a long border. They're married to one another. They have family. They have friends. It would be like the state of Missouri turning on Kansas or vice versa. This is not natural to them. That is not how they've been received. So I believe they are demoralized. I believe their equipment is diminished, and we have to make sure that we can keep Ukraine, as I said, in this fight. But we always have to remember that Vladimir Putin has nuclear weapons, and to the extent that there is an off-ramp for him, I know that our diplomats, our government, and NATO, and all of our allies are working towards a solution. But in the meantime, he continues to bomb and invade and collapse and kill and murder a free and sovereign people, as I said, some 44 million of them, who I believe in the end will win this fight because of their strength and their resolve, as long as we can keep them as a collective world, both in Europe, in NATO, and as American citizens in this fight.
And my last question has to do with that. We've worked closely with NATO. Are we working well together? I remember a former NSA official said we should have no cracks in our transatlantic unity. Are we in lockstep? Are we doing pretty well in that area?
We are. We are. I was very much encouraged by what I was hearing from our NATO allies on the ground. If anything, Putin has misjudged the fact that we would come together and that we also will be there and have the backs of our NATO allies, which is why you see more U.S. troops being moved into the Eastern European areas, into places like Poland and other locations, plussing up our numbers in Germany, making sure that if Putin were to step one foot into NATO territory, that a rain of hell would come down on him beyond belief. But I will tell you, Ashley, we can't sit by while a sovereign country like Ukraine that agreed to give up their nuclear weapons in the late 90s for peace and prosperity. We can't also sit idly by while this free and sovereign country and incredible people are absolutely wiped off the face of the earth. I don't believe that Putin wants to occupy Ukraine. I think he wants to flatten it. And it is history will judge us if we aren't doing something on a collective basis. That's why I believe NATO is unified. And you see it in the private sector, too. Look at the companies pulling out of Russia. And then MasterCard, Visa, American Express. The ruble is of zero value. I would hope at some point that Putin's own people in Russia will turn against him, as well they should, because the propaganda that is being published throughout Russia is not the reality on the ground. And I hope that the Russian people understand that. I certainly hope that his army understands it, his oligarchs understand it. I know this, the rest of the world knows.
Congresswoman Wagner, I know that you're busy sharing all of this information on Capitol Hill. Is there anything else you want to add?
I will say this. We dropped a piece of legislation last night called the Gateway Solidarity Act.
Right.
And all members of the delegation have signed on to this, Democrats and Republicans. We want to show from Missouri, Missourians, by lighting up the Gateway Arch in the colors of Ukraine as a symbolic gesture that we stand in solidarity with them. And believe it or not, it takes an act of Congress because it's a national parkland, and we're going to try and move that piece of legislation through. Again, it's something small, it's something symbolic, but I think we should do everything we can to show the kind of solidarity that we're seeing across the world, in NATO, in Europe, and certainly in America for our support of the Ukrainian people.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner, just returning from Ukraine. Thank you for joining me on Show Me Today.
Thank you.